In tears, it says it hasn't slept in weeks.
This is Bird Note. When we watch birds, they're often in flight. Snow geese. A soaring Swainson's hawk. But behind the birds are often clouds of puffy white. Or wispy checkerboards. Or masses of lead and silver rolling headlong across the sky. Sometimes the clouds themselves are so dramatic, they pull on our attention as much as the creatures winging by. Much like birds, clouds have been a subject of artistic reflection and scientific inquiry. And for more than 200 years, types of clouds have been organized in ways very similar to types of birds, to help watchers recognize and enjoy them. 2017 marked a key event in cloud watching. After a decade of research and discussion, the scientists at the World Meteorological Organization added the Asperitus Cloud to their International Cloud Atlas. With the online atlas, you can quickly figure out if you're watching those geese flying in front of a nimbus or a stratus, or maybe even the massive dark folds of the newly named Volutus Cloud. Now you can make your cloud watching even more like bird watching. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Television off of their first full-length record, Sequence One. Before that, you heard Noche with It's Over here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. The theme of this playlist has been mostly, I guess, May releases. May of any year, but May releases. As May is apparently Mental Health Awareness Month, and in the US and in Canada, May 5th to 11th is Mental Health Awareness Week. And I've been talking about that and just trying to, like, say maybe that perhaps we can begin to, if we really want to make a change, maybe. No. I don't know, hot take, I guess, but I think that if we're really going to try to make a world that has more room to discuss mental health problems, then we need to also be able to address the complexities of mental health issues, in the sense that sometimes it is not just like catching a cold, but for your brain, but rather sometimes it's chronic. A lot of the times it's really, really complex. And one of the things that I think a lot of people struggle to capture when they're talking about the destigmatization of mental health problems is the fact that mental health issues are not necessarily individualized. Like, sure, some people, they do have a predisposition to develop mental health problems because of the way their brains are. For example, I know for me, that has been a big part of why I experience complex mental health, chronic mental health issues. But I think a lot of it also is exacerbated by structural barriers and structural systemic issues, such as, and this is a throwback to an episode that I did last year about suicide prevention awareness, such as racism, colonialism, sexism. It is about, you know, how we experience the world as people who potentially already are targets of oppression and further marginalization because of all the different complex aspects of who we are, based on racialization, based on class, based on gender, you know, sexuality, size, even based on like the legacy of our peoples, right? If you are a person who is a colonized person, if your family has experienced the horrors of colonialism, structurally, the way that colonialism impacts you, it can make it so that you will develop these unpleasant things called mental health problems. The fact of the matter is that we know that these isms, for example, homophobia and transphobia, they create conditions that allow for queer people and trans people to develop really horrible mental health problems such as depression and even suicidality. There's actual like science that backs this up, and that also includes how, for example, racialized people experience racism and then later on they develop mental health problems because they experience the stress and anxiety of being discriminated against, of experiencing prejudice and bias, or even of experiencing actual interpersonal violence or structural violence because of their racialization. And so I think, like, if you are a person who is already a member of a community that is socially and politically oppressed, and you have to work out the mental health problems that you develop because of the oppression that you have experienced, or the maybe even the intergenerational trauma that your ancestors have experienced and inadvertently, like, passed down onto you. Like, I don't know all the time that, like, short-term therapy is helpful. I don't even know if therapy, period, is the main key to resolving those issues. Rather, I think it takes a lot of things that have to happen concurrently. You know, policy changes, legislative changes, the ways that our society are structured, the ways that institutions are structured, the way that the state is organized, our communities are organized, that also has to play a very key part in mental health support. And what we can be thankful for, I think, in the time that we live in now, is that there are a lot more practicing mental health professionals who are actively trying to address those things in their practices. So there are directories such as, what is it called, the Healing in Color directory, where people can go onto the website and find specifically Black Indigenous people of color therapists in their area. They can put them through like a filter to try to like find people who are, let's say, like, you know, specialize in like a certain type of topic, like burnout or like LGBTQ plus issues, or like having, you know, like trauma-informed practices, for example, or even like sliding scale rates or low-cost rates. But those things are kind of just emerging. There's a lot of work that continues to need to be done in order to make certain forms of mental health support more accessible socially and also financially accessible. One of the biggest issues that I find can be so discouraging for people to be able to access mental health support is the fact that care is just not all that financially accessible a lot of the times. Most people who I know, they don't get like coverage for therapy through work. Even if they do, it's maybe maximum like 4 sessions of therapy. And as I've addressed throughout today's show, a lot of the times that's just not enough, because as human beings, we are complex people. You know, we are dealing with like lots of like mental health issues, or we're dealing with like really complex trauma because of the ways that we are oppressed and marginalized in society. You know, in a world where we oftentimes think about mental health as being secondary to physical health, in a world where mental health a lot of the times is not even taken seriously, but in order to seriously address it, it can sometimes cost an arm and a leg. Why would people feel the need to prioritize their mental health if there's so many contradictions about why mental health care is supposedly so important? I think it's really important that if we're going to have serious conversations about mental health, raising awareness and destigmatizing mental health problems and issues, mental health disorders, we have to be able to center people in all of their complexity and address the issues or address the conditions in which they're living in, right? One of the, I think it's like the worst things about conversations that people have about mental health awareness and in these kind of like mainstream discourses about destigmatizing it is that some of the people who are experiencing just like the worst mental health problems in general are the people who are like most immediately targeted by the horrors and annals of the medical system and the police. I mean, we've got people in the world who are dealing with like some of the worst forms of like oppression and marginalization while they are dealing with horrible unaddressed mental health issues or just poorly addressed mental health issues, and they are like the first targets of the state and of the police, right? There are people who are houseless neighbors who are going to be the first people who get scapegoated, demonized, and targets of horrific violence despite the fact that they are dealing with really horrible marginalization in society, and they are unable to access adequate, dignifying, caring mental health support. Like, can we please, if we're really going to raise awareness about mental health issues, if we're really going to destigmatize mental health issues, let us please like center the people who are dealing with the worst aspects of ableism, of Satanism, of colonialism, capitalism, of classism. Let us center those people. Because for a lot of us, mental health problems, they're not just a cold that we catch. They're not just something that we inherit from our families. It is that sometimes, and then a lot of the times it's a bunch of other things that lead us to be in horrible states of health that are chronic, that have a lot of nuances, and that people will refuse to want to understand because they think that mental health is just a simple thing. Well, it's just like if you catch the flu, right? Just go to therapy, right? Just like start taking a prescription, right? That's all you really need. I have to tell you, as a person who has been in therapy for most of my life, and for more than a decade of that, not being able to access actually like specialized therapeutic care by professionals who really were trying to, frankly, make an effort to meet me where I am, it's a lot more complicated than that. I'll have some more thoughts after this little break. I'll help you take the edge off of what I've been ranting about for like the past 15 minutes.
This is Bird Note. Dave Mull is an avid birder and a professional skateboarder, or skate birder, as he likes to say. And he definitely turns some heads.
If I'm skateboarding and then I pull out my binoculars and start birding, some people see that and they're like, just totally taken aback. And they're like, why does he have binoculars? And what the heck is he looking at? Usually people just laugh outright. But then if they're nearby, I'll be like, you got to check this out. And I'll let them take a look through the bins.
That's birder lingo for binoculars.
And they're amazed. They're like, what? How did you know that was there? It's really fun to pique people's interest like that, really unexpectedly. And sometimes it's right in the middle of me trying to film a trick. So the people filming, you know, they might get impatient, but they know at this point I'm obsessed with birds as well as skateboarding. So if I see like a couple of hooded orioles behind me when I'm about to go try a trick, I'm going to put my board down and like check out what those orioles are doing.
And the birds really aren't a distraction for Dave. They help him stay in the zone.
In skateboarding, you'll get a lot of distractions while you're trying a trick, say like traffic or passersby. When I'm skating, I actually gain inspiration from my surroundings and try to take what I can from it to actually encourage me. You know, the birds are flitting from one tree to the next like it's nothing. And I try to imagine I can do a little bit of that, you know, even if it's just hopping for a fraction of a second in the air on my skateboard.
For Bird Note, I'm Mark Bramhill.
Le cœur devant te répond, car le
That was the newest by Valence, Leo Renteur à la Maison, here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. I've been talking about mental health awareness and destigmatization and all those things. I want to wrap up the show today with some final words, and it's really hard to because I have so many words about about mental health awareness and destigmatization in general. But one of those things that I kind of like want to close on is just like I really want to implore anybody who's interested in, you know, being like a like an outspoken person about mental health, to really address not only the stigma around it, but importantly, the structural factors and barriers that impact people's mental health. As policies and systems of care and communities really have to center those who are impacted by things like ableism, classism, racism, colonialism, capitalism, and so on. I've spoken about this type of thing at length in the past on Typically Tuesdays as well. I think those things are really, really, really important. As a person who, you know, I just can't help but to think about how unfair all of this is. As a person who has like a pretty complicated relationship to her mental health, like I have only in the past few years, in the nearly two decades that I've been accessing therapy and counseling, I've only pretty much in the past like handful of years been able to see like some change in my mental health and in the way that I've grown. Because throughout most of the time that I've been accessing therapy, I hadn't really worked with people who were, I think, like dignifying the experiences that I was going through and all the complexities of me as a person. It really took a patient and compassionate professional who was really, really knowledgeable to be able to help me develop the tools that I need now to recognize, you know, all the things that I've been working towards, I guess. And even that doesn't, like, even that came to me as a privilege. It just happened to be at the right time, in the right moment, I was able to find free counseling services with somebody who was like a consummate professional and who truly had so much care. When I think about all the people in my life who maybe don't have as complicated of a relationship to their mental health as I do, but they are not even able to access that level of care because therapy is so inaccessible, because we live in a society that just kind of assumes that like therapy is like a short stint. You know, that can be kind of, that can be really frustrating, actually. If we really want to like grow and develop as people, those of us who, you know, complicated topic, you know, but those of us who are able to grow and develop as people, in taking care of our mental health, it is a lifelong commitment that always takes diligence. It is a lifelong commitment that doesn't feel all the time that we're making grand changes. Those victories are always, they feel hard won because of how difficult the work is, but it's always gratifying. And when you're not able to have those tools, because you don't have the resources, because the policies will not recognize that those resources are needed for everyone, that just makes me feel, I guess, that maybe the conversations we're having around mental health awareness, they need to dig a little bit deeper. They need to dig a lot deeper, actually. And they need to be broadened to encompass more people. I guess those are just the thoughts that I have on this really simple and really easy topic to discuss that is not personal at all and that is not political at all. But I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Typically Tuesdays. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I hope you check out more great CJSF programming. Something later for you. If you want to, you know, talk about like change and growth and stuff like that. Like Free Voices is a great show. Thursdays, 3 p.m. to 4. It's awesome about like human rights and human growth and like really dignifying the human experience. Check it out. I'm going to close off today with one final song. This is a little bit of like a, you know, it's a little bit of a sunnier song. It's a little bit happier, and I hope you enjoy. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Sun Out by Ingeborg von Agassi. I've been Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays, and I'll talk to you very soon. CJ.